the people who are making those comments are probably less far along in their journey than you are, and are probably struggling with the same things that you struggle with.
Welcome to Shoulders Down, a podcast about intuitive eating and living. I'm your host, Leah Kern, and I'm an anti-diet dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor. In this podcast, you will learn to harness your body's innate wisdom to govern not just how you eat, but also how you live. It is my mission to help you heal your relationship with food and body so you can live your most aligned and fulfilling life. Welcome, and I'm so glad that you're here. And welcome back to Shoulders Down. This week we have two therapists on the podcast and we are talking about body image. We are talking specifically about how body image affects dating, relationships, intimacy. The two therapists on the podcast today, Catherine and Lindsay, actually run a support group called My Body in the Bedroom, and it's a space for individuals to discuss how body image can negatively impact dating, relationships, and intimacy. So I can't wait for you to get to learn from them today. We had such a fun conversation, and it was a really something I feel we haven't really dove into so deeply on this episode yet. So I'm excited to be venturing into some of these body image topics more deeply. Before we dive into the episode with Lindsay and Catherine, we're going to be answering a listener question as always. And before answering the listener question, I'm going to give my standard disclaimer as always. So all content in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. The information and education provided is not intended or implied to supplement or replace any professional medical treatment, advice, and or diagnoses. And on top of that, I'm only one person with one lived experience. So I encourage you to seek out insights from folks with other lived experiences, as well as consult your own inner wisdom. Okay, so today's question comes from a listener named Esty, and Esty asks, can you make nutrition a priority without going overboard and still do intuitive eating? Great question. Thank you for the amazing question, Esty. And it's something I hear a lot. People are like, if I just eat whatever I want and get rid of food rules, then wouldn't I be unhealthy? Wouldn't I never prioritize nutrition? And it's something that it makes sense that people have this concern up front. But at the end of the day, intuitive eating is about eating for the way that you want to feel in your body. And oftentimes we find that eating nutrient-dense foods can feel really good. So you can absolutely make nutrition a priority without going overboard. The key pieces to look for here are always intention. When you are making a decision, if it's salad or a sandwich, if you choose that salad because you are trying to quote unquote be good or be quote unquote healthy, but if your body is really craving something like a sandwich or something that's just like maybe a little bit more energy dense than salad, and you choose the salad and you ignore those cues and choose the salad instead because you want to be good or quote unquote be healthy, then that will result in a feeling of deprivation. And if you are feeling deprived, this is how binges ultimately happen, or experiences of eating out of past the point of comfortable fullness can happen. Because when you feel deprived, your body's like, we need to have something good. Like, we really want to experience joy. Like, we've been deprived. And that's where you might find yourself turning to like mindless snacking or feeling out of control around food in any form. So I want you to check in with, what do I really want right now? First of all, there's nothing unhealthy about a sandwich. Actually, the healthiest thing you could do is honor your body's cue, because your body has wisdom that is beyond, you know, sometimes what we can understand. If it's craving a sandwich, you know, it probably needs the carbs or the protein from the deli meat, whatever components are in there, versus if your body's craving a salad, it's probably telling you something about needing more micronutrients or more kind of water-rich foods and fibrous foods and roughage. Your body has wisdom, and if you can listen to it, that is the best thing you can do for your health. That is the best nutrition decision at any given time. So you absolutely can think about nutrition. We call this in intuitive eating, gentle nutrition. The key difference is, you know, with diet culture, nutrition is very stringent. It has almost this like abusive energy to like eating a certain way. It's very strict and disciplined. And if you don't eat in a certain way, there's often feelings of shame or guilt for like, quote unquote, messing up. And with intuitive eating, it looks very different. Nutrition, we say, with intuitive eating comes from a place of self-care and not self-control. And importantly, nutrition with intuitive eating is always about asking yourself, how do I want to feel in my body, as opposed to how do I want to look? So we want your food choices to be coming from a place of how will this make my body feel, instead of from a place of, ooh, maybe this will make me like lose a few pounds or look more sculpted or whatever it is. Because at the end of the day, eating for the way that you want to look is just going to leave you feeling disappointed and upset and frustrated and deprived, because really it's your food intake is never going to impact your body in the way that diet culture has made it seem like it could. And it's also never going to be sustainable because of that deprivation, because of your choosing the foods that you feel like you're supposed to be having, but it's not what you really want. You'll end up feeling out of control, which will end up with those days that are just like, screw it, I'll just eat whatever I want. And then this kind of perpetuates riding this swinging pendulum of like being good and then going to the other side of saying screw it and having whatever you want. So we need to always check in with, is this something that I'm doing from a place of how I want to feel in my body? Or is this decision coming from a place of how I believe this will change the way I look in my body? The other thing I'll say, Esty, is that you can absolutely prioritize nutrition through this lens of gentle nutrition. But if you haven't done the work to examine your diet mentality and to honor your hunger and to consider satisfaction and to kind of really look at these other aspects of intuitive eating, if you jump right to gentle nutrition, then it's likely that you might end up in a place where you find yourself kind of co-opting nutrition, the nutrition science, to become another diet. And so we really want to make sure that you've first done the work to uproot your old diet beliefs and to really connect to your body's cues, because that's what will help us make sure that your decisions around nutrition are coming from a place of self-care, not self-control. This is a really common thing where like I see clients who are just like really eager to get to the nutrition part of my program. In my one-to-one coaching program, we talk about this. We talk about how to make, you know, honor your body with gentle nutrition without going overboard and becoming restrictive and abusive. And it's something that I don't talk about with my clients until I really am feeling and seeing that they've been able to reject the diet mentality, because the last thing I want is for them to, you know, take the nutrition science and information and again, co-opt it into another diet, which folks who come from a long history of dieting are very good at doing, because they're just so used to that restrictive diet mentality. So Esty, to summarize here, I want you to always check in with your intention. Why am I choosing this food? Is it from a place of self-care or from a place of self-control? The second thing is asking yourself, do I feel deprived making this choice? Because if you feel deprived, it won't be sustainable and it could end up in that backlash binging. And then very, very importantly, before prioritizing nutrition, it's really important that you've done the work to reject diet mentality. Because again, we don't want you to end up in a place where you are co-opting the nutrition into another diet. And one last thing I'll share here is that I'm not sure where you are on your intuitive eating journey, but it's really common for, you know, the initial phase of intuitive eating to include a lot more play foods, which are more of those like, you know, fun foods like ice cream and cookies and candy and less nutrient dense foods, because your body is like so excited because it's been deprived of these foods for so long. So it's really, really normal for those foods to be like mostly what you're interested in and for you to find yourself wanting more of those foods compared to nutrient dense foods. And that's okay. That's a really normal part of this process. Your body really needs to see and internalize the reality that these foods are around, they're available, they're not going anywhere, they're not going to become suddenly off limits tomorrow, another diet and restriction period is not around the corner. So your body needs to go through what we call kind of like the honeymoon phase of like really experiencing and enjoying all of these foods that have been previously restricted. And in time, when you've rejected all of these rules and really shown your body that nothing is off limits, in time, it will start to naturally crave nutrient-dense foods, and you will find yourself in a place where you can start thinking about gentle nutrition. But if you're at the beginning of your journey, I would really, really encourage you to lean into truly allowing all those play foods without, you know, feelings of guilt and like, oh, am I not eating enough nutrient-dense foods? Your body is smart and it will tell you what it needs. It probably just needs to, right now, know that these play foods, these fun foods aren't going anywhere, and that's positive for you, your health, and your relationship with food. So I hope this was helpful for you, SD. It's a great question. And if you are listening and you have a question of your own, I would absolutely love and be honored to take a stab at it. You can submit your question via the link in the show notes. And again, we do have an episode coming up with a bunch of listener questions, or we just kind of answer them all in one go. This is your opportunity to get access to an intuitive eating dietitian, and I would absolutely love to answer your question. So for a chance to have your question answered on an upcoming episode, you can submit it via the link in the show notes, and maybe you'll hear it on an upcoming episode. Okay, now for the episode with Lindsay and Catherine. Lindsay and Catherine are psychotherapists who focus on all things mental health, including relationships, dating, couples, body image, and intimacy. They are excited to be hosting the group My Body in the Bedroom, a space for individuals to discuss how body image can negatively impact dating and intimacy. This group allows individuals to build community on the body image struggles that take away from enjoying time with a partner and build confidence in relationships and bodies.
Welcome, Lindsay and Catherine. So excited to have you. I would love to just start first by hearing how, and you guys can like jump in, whoever wants to start first, but just hearing how you both got involved in this body image work in the first place.
Yeah, totally. So for me personally, I feel it's really interesting. So Catherine and I are both psychotherapists. We do like individual counseling, couples therapy, all those types of things. And so for me, I didn't specifically go into body image counseling. I actually found that like once I went into it, I was getting a lot of people who were struggling with body image, struggling with diet culture, negative food behaviors. And then all of a sudden I was kind of like turning to like my real life and realizing like how many friends and family were dealing with this. So it kind of came to me. And then I actually really enjoyed working on it and understanding how this is showing up in people's lives. So it wasn't something that I was specifically interested in, but it's something that I really came to learn to love to work on and help people work on, to help people work on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it started with couples work, and then you were finding that like that was some of the sticking points.
So actually individual therapy mostly. So I was working with a lot of women around my age, like late 20s, early 30s. Coming in, struggling with dating a lot, kind of putting themselves out there. And then all of a sudden it's like negative food behaviors were coming up, some like really challenging body dysmorphia. You know, I think a big thing is like we see our bodies change throughout our 20s a lot, like from 20 to 30. I was finding that a lot of women I was working with were like not fitting into their clothes the same way. And so it was kind of just a pattern I was seeing. So that's kind of why Catherine and I started like working together, because we both were finding body image coming up in our individual work. So it was mostly individual work that we were doing.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like it started like it found you, like you said. It was just like, oh, this is like an underlying issue and so many other issues it comes back to.
Yeah.
Catherine, what about you?
Yeah. I was kind of similar to Lindsay, but I think like I started noticing it a little bit before. So when I was in undergrad, I was like working on a research study that was studying the effects on this is like totally like 2015 lingo, but like fitspiration on like Instagram and like Pinterest, and how was it affecting women at that time. And that's when I first started like, oh, like my like passion for like talking about like body positivity is like so connected to like psychology as well. So I just realized that like people in my life were talking about it a lot. And I was like, oh, wow, like these things are so connected and I want to learn more about this. So when I started doing therapy, it kind of just like same, like fell into me. Like I was working with like young women. And when you work with young women in this field, like you're going to have issues of body image come up. It's just going to happen. So it was so cool to find Lindsay and like share a very similar niche and be able to like bounce ideas off each other. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into it.
It's awesome. How did you guys get connected with each other?
Our boss had like, I think like had known Lindsay when I got hired and was like, oh, you would like, you have very similar interests to Lindsay, so you guys should connect.
That's awesome.
Yeah, our boss, shout out Carly. She was like, the two of you would totally hit it off, and like hired both of us into her practice. And we like literally hit it off right away and just kind of have like totally similar styles and modalities that we use in our treatment. So
that's awesome.
We connected.
I love that. And what about if you're comfortable sharing in your own stories and in your personal life? I'm curious to hear if your own journey with navigating body image or relationship with food impacted your interest in going into this work.
Yeah, so it definitely did. I think that I really can resonate with my clients when they talk about some of the food fears, some of the negative body image thoughts, the body dysmorphia, because that's definitely something that like I struggled with and still continue to struggle with. I don't like necessarily say all of that in my session. Right. Like I want my clients to feel like I understand where they're coming from, but also like not make therapy sessions about me as well. But I think it's really important to connect with your clients, even if you haven't gone through similar struggles as them. But yeah, I think that my own experience with it and also the experience of people in my life, close friends, family, really shaped me to want to do this work because, you know, being the therapist that I wish I had as a kid, which unfortunately not a lot of people get, like therapists that are like anti-diet and aware of these kind of things, which is so important and can be so harmful.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're comfortable sharing a little bit about your body image story, obviously it could be a whole podcast of its own going into these kind of things deeply. But what are the points that stick out when you reflect on your own story?
Yeah, I think that for me, I think that I really, what helped me the most was learning to show myself care and compassion and having other people in my life reflect that. So I hear a lot of people that I work with saying like, oh, I'm in a friend group that isn't necessarily like having the same anti-diet views as me, or is at least it's triggering me in some way, like making those kind of comments that you hear a lot were for people who are just uninformed, aren't in this industry. So I think what really helped me was finding community in friendships and in romantic partners who are aware of these issues and are also uplifting. So while I'm on my journey, I also have other people in my life who are validating me and how I feel. So I think that that is the main thing that I kind of took from my own experience that I like to help others take, and like just having that open line of communication with the people in your life. So the journey that you're on is also being validated by others.
Yeah. Like lots of boundary stuff. It totally, the power of community and of like putting space between you and people who aren't in that world, aren't understanding anti-diet, intuitive eating, all those things can be so valuable. I see that with my clients too. Lindsay, what about you and your story with body image?
Yeah, kind of similar to Catherine. I think that body image came up the most for me in relationship to diet culture. You know, I grew up around like people going on Weight Watchers, people doing intermittent fasting, juice cleanses. Like we were the generation of like the start of juice cleanses. And so I feel like I just really grew up around that a lot. And it really wasn't until I started working in the field that I realized how toxic diet culture was. And I actually went through a training with an intuitive eating counselor, and it was really informative and helped me understand some of like the diet ideas that I was living by and the restricting that I was doing. Not even to like an extreme, even on just like a general level, like most of us are just living this life of restricting or thinking that there's good food and bad foods naturally from what we've learned. And I think that as social media, like really blew up, just seeing like what I eat in a day videos and, you know, this is what I eat to look this way. You know, I would be kind of like comparing myself and being like, what, like, why do I feel this way compared to like other people who are maybe eating the same amount as me, or maybe I don't look the same. And so I was really seeing like that diet culture come up. It was like friends, family, and exactly what Catherine was talking about too, like people around me, like my friends just kind of talking about like the diets that they're going on. So I think for me, it's really like surrounding myself with people who understand, you know, the impact of diet culture, are working towards body neutrality, or, you know, loving themselves more. And I think that something that's helped me is just being like kinder to myself and understanding that like your body changes, it grows, it fluctuates, and that's okay. So that's been a little bit of my journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely these like common themes with
growing up in the age of social media and just being, I always like use this phrase, like diet culture was just the water we all swam in. Like it was just everywhere and you couldn't even tell. Yeah. Because it just was so normalized, and even praise, which how can you tell that it's like disordered when it's like at people are like, oh, you're so good.
Yeah. The comments.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even like, I say that a lot, like people don't even realize the damage that they're doing. Like if you're talking to someone who has struggled with body dysmorphia, eating disorders, if you compliment their body, that's going to have a lasting impact.
Yeah. Even like, if it's positive. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, oh, they said that I looked good here. And I know that like I was at a certain weight at this time and I don't look that way. So now I need to restrict in order to get back to the way I looked.
There's so much that can be said, like without being said, because by saying like, oh, you look good, it's like, well, did I not look good last time you saw me? Because you didn't say that. And obviously people who struggle with these things, you can spiral so quickly. Yeah. But people don't mean to do harm. It's just like, again, this is the water we're all swimming in. So no one sees like how I see with my clients a lot. They're like, I set a boundary. I tried to tell my parent or whoever, like, please don't make these diet culture comments, but they keep doing it because they don't even realize that it's diet culture.
Totally. It's a really big mindset. And I think people also should give themselves permission to be okay if like, you can't cure everybody else around you. And it's really hard to just like focus on yourself, because for a lot of people, like, for example, like you just said, like some people who are going on like this body love journey and trying to take diet culture out through their lives will like come home and their parents are kind of the ones who like enforce this really negative body image and diet culture onto them. And their parents aren't really understanding what they're needing. So just being aware of your triggers, how they're going to impact you, and just being aware that like the only thing that matters is working on you, and other people might make those comments, but like working through those triggers, and it is challenging. And I just want to validate that for people, that you might be in an environment that might not be adding to your self-love and body image journey.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. And I think on that, something that I found helpful, and I definitely like talk to my clients about this, is like, we're all swimming the same water, right? So the people who are making those comments are probably less far along in their journey than you are, and are probably struggling with the same things that you struggle with. So instead of like being angry, and I know it's so easy to be angry at diet culture because it's fucking sucks, but instead of being angry, just try to be empathetic in those moments. Like, wow, if this person's making that comment, that means that they're struggling with this the same way I did. So instead of like having like causing it to for me to spiral, just like maybe show them a little bit of empathy in that moment, and then like take yourself on a walk or whatever you have to do to make yourself feel better after that.
I love that. I think the same thing. Like, people only make those comments if they're struggling truly, like at the end of the day. So you guys have come together and you have this support group specifically for women struggling with body image, with a focus on how negative body image can impact dating, relationships, and intimacy. Such a cool group. I think that's awesome. And there's such a need for that. So I'm curious, what are some of the ways in which poor body image can impact dating, relationships, and intimacy?
Yeah. So Catherine and I came together specifically for this reason. We were both finding that a lot of women in their 20s and 30s were in the dating world, especially in New York City, were just having really negative body image when it comes to dating. So for example, overthinking the way that they look when they go on a date, or thinking that somebody is not going to like them or want to date them because of their size or because of how they look. Or even as far as like overthinking the way that they look during really intimate moments. And so we came together because we were finding this really common issue coming up, and we created a space for women to come and talk about the way that their bodies come into play in dating, and understanding that there is community around it, because these are both two really stigmatized topics. Body image, not everyone really is talking about how that's challenging. That can be a really internalized struggle. And same with dating, intimacy, sex, relationships, and things like that. You know, those are two really private and personal things in our lives. So we wanted to create this group to be completely weight inclusive, non-diet, to talk about how our body image is a challenge, how it comes into dating, and create community and just minimize that isolation in some of these topics.
Yeah, absolutely needed. And so to hear you guys kind of chat through the specifics of how body image can really impact intimacy, dating, relationships. So Lindsay, you just mentioned the one of like taking you out of really intimate moments because you're in your head. Can you expand a little bit on that, and also give like other examples for someone listening who really wants to like hear how this plays out.
I'll talk a little bit more about the intimacy thing. So I think that obviously this is a topic not really a lot of people talk about, but it's so important for women to feel comfortable in their bodies. And when are your bodies, like when are you most aware of your bodies? It's probably when you're having sex, right? So I think if you struggle with body image, of course it's bound to come up in sexual situations. The main thing I want to like get across with this group in terms of like body image is sex is just learning to be more present in the moment and kind of like, instead of just like disassociating, which is like the easiest thing to do in those moments and spiraling. So some tips I have for that is just like, me and Lindsay have talked about how to be more mindful during sex, which is just like, you know, feeling the moment. And I know this is going to be like pretty detailed, but like, you know, like how does it feel like when your partner touches you? What does your partner smell like? What does your partner's hair feel like? What does their skin feel like? And like really leaning into the connection of you and your partner instead of focusing on like what your body looks like in those moments, because the presence is like what causes the removal of that like underlying anxiety.
Yeah, I love the idea of connecting to your senses. Like, what do I feel, see, smell?
Yeah, it can really like take you back into the moment out of your own head.
And also when you have body dysmorphia or negative ideas about your body, it's such an out-of-body experience. And so in order to be present in a moment, and in order for you to feel to be seen by a partner or a potential partner, somebody that you're dating, you need to be in your body. You need to be present and comfortable with who you are, or else that person is not going to be able to see you. So I think it's like really learning to get comfortable with your body, understanding, you know, how to appreciate it and be vulnerable with that. I think a really big point of us wanting to have this group too is to open conversations, like I said before, like open conversations around some of these harder topics, because a lot of people have never talked about some of these challenges before in their lives. And it sometimes just feels like it's stuck inside of you and you want to talk about it, you want to tell somebody. So it's really normalizing these conversations, because ultimately these are conversations that you maybe should be having with your partner and you know, just describing like, I'm struggling with this, so that your partner can kind of be there with you and be vulnerable. And that is a really big part of intimacy, is sexual intimacy and being able to share and care and love and be vulnerable with a partner, which is really hard if you're holding in some of these really negative ideas that you're having about yourself.
Right. Absolutely. So what about the person who is in a situation where they fear that they aren't lovable in their current body? I see this a lot with my clients, where when we do the work to reject diet culture and it's kind of like starting to accept, okay, I'm trying to intentionally manipulate the size or shape of my body will never work long term. There's like this grief process of like, oh my God, that means that this is it. Like, this is the body I have, give or take. This is how I'm going to exist in the world. What if they're in a place where they're not happy with that and they feel like, how could I ever be loved in this body?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a big part of understanding how to, if you're not, so I think just to go back and think about, first of all, where did these ideas come from that you feel that you're not lovable? You know, who told you that you're not lovable? When is the first time that you felt that you were unloved? And understanding the dynamics of that and how that's coming into play in your life. And then also asking yourself, you know, what does self-love look like for you? 95% of the time when I ask the people that I work with, what does self-love look like for you? We sit there in silence for about a minute and then they say, I don't know. And so I think that a huge part of this is understanding how to love yourself. And as corny as it sounds, you know, it's really about understanding how to appreciate your body, how to be neutral with what it looks like, and to understand that you are lovable. And if you don't understand how to love yourself and appreciate your body for what it is, it's going to be hard to feel confident in it. Mm-hmm. So really understanding what that looks like. And I know Catherine and I were kind of talking about this recently. So I want to give you, Catherine, some time to talk about this too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like such a real thing, being able to like, you know, you get to the point where you're just now accepting that like, hey, I'm not going to like fall down this rabbit hole of restricting and I'm going to try to feel more comfortable in my body. Like I said before, I think the most important thing is at this stage is to have people in your life that are going to affirm that. So if you're dating partners who are making comments about your body or, you know, you're trying to look a certain way in your dating profile and like posing in certain ways or trying to make yourself look more thin, that's just perpetuating that idea in your head, right? So you want to put yourself in more affirming places when it comes to romantic relationships. So do you do start to feel like you can be lovable in the body that you're in? And that starts internally. So I would say like post the photo where you feel like you look more like yourself. Like don't try to perpetuate this own idea that you have to look a certain way to be lovable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just be like open and vulnerable in your relationships about feeling that way. It's okay. Like you don't have to completely love yourself to be in a relationship. You don't have to have like self-actualized self-love, but I think it's just about finding those people who are gonna love you no matter what you look like. Mm-hmm.
So for the person who's like in this place of like, I just love feels so unattainable. Like I just am at disgust right now.
Yeah.
What is like one small step that person could take to move towards acceptance?
Totally. And I completely get that. Like I rarely do I ever start with love when I'm working with a client who's at that point. I would say showing yourself empathy. So the same way you would show empathy to a friend or even acquaintance, like holding the door open for someone, like showing yourself the littlest piece of respect that you would show anyone. So whether that be like you're catching yourself, like showing yourself really negative thoughts, like at least just say like, I'm not going to engage with that today. Or, you know, you're having a bad day and you're having a bad body image day, taking yourself like on a nice thing, like go for a walk or like get yourself a treat or like, I don't know, like get an iced tea, like something like that is just showing yourself the littlest bit of respect. So you get to that point where you're not at like complete hate and you're slowly inching towards at least neutrality. Mm-hmm. So we're not dealing with like the self-hatred on a day-to-day basis because that's just going to reinforce all the negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But self-care, like a basis of self-care to show your body, you at least respect it if you don't love it.
Kind of like playing off of what Catherine just said, I'm huge on language. So if I have somebody who's coming into my sessions and saying that I look disgusting, I'm like, wait, let's like slow down a second. Like, what does that say when you are calling yourself disgusting? How does that make you feel? You know, how is that allowing you to present to other people and the world and kind of helping alter that language? Because a lot of the things that we say are our thoughts. And if we think that way, that really shows that you have cognitively been trained. And this is like some more like CBT, like cognitive behavioral therapy, like how the brain works is that like we've been trained to think these really negative things about ourselves. And so in order to readjust some of those cognitions, we need to change the language. We need to be able to say, okay, maybe I don't, even if you just say, maybe I don't look disgusting today. Maybe I'm just not really loving how I look today. Even changing the language that much is going to help you in the long run in understanding how some of your thoughts are impacting your behaviors and impacting the way that you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'm also huge on language and I completely agree. So much of this is like internalized beliefs from society. And what I always say to my clients is like, yes, that's frustrating to realize we've internalized so many harmful beliefs. And also the good news is if it's learned, it can be unlearned and we can start to rewire some of those neural pathways, and language is like where that starts.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm thinking about people venturing into the world of dating, say they've been on their intuitive eating journey, they've done some work to start this journey of acceptance that this might be the body I have, this, you know, maybe a diet culture's promise of me being able to manipulate this to any size or shape of my liking is actually not realistic. For that person who's like, how do I even begin to start dating right now? After like fear, you know, maybe being burned by dating situations in the past when they were living in a different reality with their body image. What do you guys have in terms of tips for like those first steps?
I would say, what my clients do this a lot is like make a list of things that you're looking for in a partner. Because when you're coming from like out of such like, maybe your dating experience before you were on this journey was very much like, I am just going to like chase the first person that shows me interest, or I'm not like really like meeting my needs or in any way, right? It's very typical. Make a list of things that you want in a partner, because then in like 3 weeks when they come back to me and tell me like, hey, I just met this person and I feel like here's all the good things, but here are the ways they're not meeting my needs. Then I'm like, okay, well, let's go back to this list then. Mm-hmm. So I would say like going to it in a very like self-aware way, which is like, okay, now that I'm like on this journey and I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable in my own body, what are some things that I want to give myself that I know that I need in a partner?
Yeah. I love that idea. The list is, and it's such a good touchstone to come back to of like, is this person in alignment with my values? And are they going to give me what I need? It can be hard, I think, to be honest, because like, you know, having love and connection or even like physical intimacy can feel like so exciting that you could push under the rug what you really want. But I think keeping yourself realistic, I think that can help prevent too, like a lot of hard feelings down the line if you kind of go in with that from the start. I love that.
I think also going off of lists, like making a list of things that you like about yourself, what makes you desirable? What makes you likable as a person? Because we're always focused on like, why is he, this is the reason he's not going to like me. I'm not pretty enough for him to like me or them or, you know? And so I think like making a list of all the things that are really great about yourself, because everybody has qualities that are great about themselves. And so reflecting, because let's say we have that rejection or it doesn't work out, our mind starts to spiral, go down the negative. What did I do wrong? Why am I not good enough? You know, it's all these like lack of self-worth thoughts. Go back to that list. Remind yourself, here are all the things that are really great about yourself. And if that wasn't enough for that person, then maybe that person wasn't for you.
Mm, yeah. I love that so much. Can really help you stand in your authenticity in those moments, instead of trying to change yourself for them, being like, it didn't work out. And also I still know who I am and I have a lot to offer the world.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally. Just that simple reframe can completely like change your outlook on the situation.
Everything.
Yeah. So this goes perfectly into the next question I have for you, which is, okay, rejection's inevitable. Like certain people might not like you because of your body. And that's a hard reality of like the world we live in is a physical world and we have bodies and that they look differently. And being rejected based off of your looks is something that is just a, I think, a fact of life. How can someone navigate this rejection without spiraling to, you know, starting to try to change their body?
I think that like going from that is back to the reframe example, right? Like if you have someone in your life that you want to pursue, wouldn't you want them to appreciate your body for what it is? And if this person is rejecting you, they're showing you who they are. And that's not someone that you would want to be with. Like, yeah. That's not someone that you would want in your life. As like, and I know it's like hard in the moment to give yourself that. And that's definitely not the reaction you're immediately going to have. But again, like in that exact moment, just showing yourself some empathy. Hey, I put myself out there. This person is clearly showing me that they are not at the same level as I am, and they are not going to help me on my journey and be supportive for me. So it sounds like it's actually a good thing that this person showed me who they are instead of later down the line.
Mm-hmm. I love the reframe of rejection is like almost helpful. Like, okay, you're just narrowing the pool for me to actually find someone who will fill my needs and who will be more aligned with the kind of person I'm actually looking for.
Yeah, I totally agree with that too. I think a big part of rejection is it's an opportunity for you to just feel really bad about yourself. And something I really like to say to people who are going through a rejection or going through a tough time and really just being down on themselves, it's like an easy time to just spiral and think badly about yourself. So instead of doing that, asking yourself, how can you show yourself kindness? And a big one is also, how would you want a friend, or how would you tell a friend or family member to respond to a rejection? You know, how would you want them to feel? You know, why are you not giving yourself that same grace? Because you probably say like, I want them to feel loved. I want them to feel like they are good enough and they are worth it, even if they are experiencing rejection, but you're not giving yourself that same leeway. And so asking yourself why, you know, why am I not giving myself that same space and, you know, kindness and empathy that, you know, to feel okay with what happened and, you know, give yourself back that love and compassion.
Yeah. So much comes back to self-compassion. It's real. And it is like the central element of intuitive eating is being able to be kind to yourself. Something I see with clients a lot is this, to the question of why can I give this to a friend, but I can't give it to myself. This kind language is something along the lines of, well, if I'm kind to myself, then I won't succeed. Like then I'm going too easy on myself. And I'm curious as therapists, how you guys, if you've encountered that, I'm sure you have, and how you navigate those conversations.
Yeah. It's like, what's wrong with that? Why is it a bad thing to not go so hard on yourself and to be so down on yourself? I think that I think especially in the society that we live in, we are so conditioned to just be like, go, 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 especially for us in New York City and the people that we're working with. We always think that we have to be on to the next thing, you know, getting the next job or, you know, making more money or, you know, looking even better, especially with social media. It's really easy to compare yourself to the millions and millions, billions, maybe billions of people and videos that you're seeing of people online. So I think that it's really important to, you know, take a step back from that and recognize like how you're treating yourself and, you know, to kind of go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that so much. I would say that's like one of the main things that young New York girls struggle with.
Wait, can you just reiterate what is the thing they struggle with?
Yeah. Is like the feeling, the need, even like in and outside of body image, just like an overall need to like constantly like be doing more, be like hyper productive, you know, like the whole girl boss mentality. When people say that to me, I connect it back to the reason they started coming to me for therapy. Like, what is your overall goal in life right now? Is it to be happy? Because it doesn't sound like all of these like strides towards like perfect productivity is making you happy. It's distant from the goal that you have. So like reflecting back on like, if you want to feel good, this like need to be constantly doing things, whether that be having to do with your body or outside of your body, having to do with like work, et cetera, is that bringing you closer to your goal of like wanting to feel joy from your life? Mm-hmm. And like most of the time it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. And this makes me think of something about body image. Like, so many people in my experience who I've worked with had this goal of trying to manipulate the size or shape of their body for so long, like in some cases, 50 years, if you know, or more, depending on your age. Most people, for as long as they can remember, it's been like their body's a project they're trying to mold or shape. And so I think about the emptiness that could come with acceptance of like, now where do I channel all that energy? Because previously I've been channeling this into like sculpting and certain exercises and eating a certain way. And so I'm curious if that's something you encounter, of people like coming to this almost like identity crisis of like, who am I if I'm not the person who's trying to manipulate the size or shape of my body at all times?
Yeah, I think that the human body, and this is just science, that like we like homeostasis, we don't like change, we like just being at what feels normal for us. So to be able to completely alter your mindset feels really uncomfortable. You know, we're always trying to like, I think we also like, for most Americans at least, like we've kind of had our life like planned out for us. It's like you go to high school, you go to college, you get a job. I mean, I know that's not the situation, obviously, for everybody. I think it's naive to think that way, but like a lot of times we have that protection. Then once we get into, you know, our 20s and 30s, it's like, whoa, what do we do from here? And so when body image comes into play there, it's like we have this idea of like we're supposed to be like fitting this smaller mold and kind of like getting into a smaller body, or you know, making our body look a certain way. So to take a step back and to just be okay with what you look like is a totally different mindset. And it's understanding like, is that okay? Can you accept that? And the answer is yes, but a lot of people don't realize that that is something that is okay.
For me, I would say like finding the joy in the little things. Like even while you were on this like diet culture spiral, however many years it was, there has to be something that you did for like some sort of enjoyment, and like really leaning into those things, putting more energy into self-care, putting more energy into the things that bring you joy. A lot of people actually, I found, that used to struggle with eating disorders find a lot of care and putting a lot of effort into making themselves meals. And I like really like to lean into that. Have you noticed that as well? Like,
yeah. I mean, I think it makes sense. It's like the pendulum kind of goes in the opposite direction of like, that was such a painful, guilt-ridden, shameful thing. And now it's like, oh, there's no rules anymore. Like this can be a beautiful, nurturing, loving thing. And also I think it opens up so many possibilities for like fun. Cooking can be fun because it's not like, the metaphor I always give clients is like, when you go to the grocery store with all of these rules, it's like laser beams and you're like trying to like, oh, I can't have that, I can't have that. And it's like so stressful and it takes so much energy out of you to just make all these little micro decisions, like when you're looking at any product. And then when you lift all of those rules, you go in and it's just like, oh, what do I want today?
Yeah. And that can, that's like so relieving and like so empowering to be able to do that. So yeah, I do definitely encourage a lot of my clients to like get more passionate about like what they're cooking for themselves. Like they don't have to become like chefs overnight, but just like, you know, putting more care into the meals you're making and, you know, checking in with yourself. Like I always have my clients do like a deep breath before they like start eating. I found that to be really helpful, just being like mindful when you're like entering that time.
Yeah. And I mean, preparing nourishment for yourself is such an act of self-care. So talking about like growing self-respect, like I think putting more energy or thought into meals you make for yourself could be a small way to do that too.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of people too, like we recognize and validate that it is hard to change those food behaviors because so many people have lived like most people. I mean, the people that Catherine and I are working with are more in like 20s and 30s. So it's like you've spent 20 to 30 years of your life having these ideas that like you can't eat this. And so understanding and how to eat more intuitively, and I'm sure Leah, you can, you know, explain that a little bit more, but, you know, understanding to like move your body and that you can eat all foods and all foods are okay to eat. You know, it really does change that cooking experience. It changes that grocery store experience and kind of allows you to give yourself permission. And that is an act of self-love. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a form of just like giving yourself the leeway and space to all that feels challenging and create a more positive behavioral pattern for yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a parallel there really with like, when you free up your brain space from all these food rules, there can also be this identity crisis of like, wait, who am I? And what do I do with all this extra time and energy? In the same way that like, when you free up your brain from like constant body hate and trying to mold and sculpt your body, it's like, there's just this freed up energy. I think Lindsay, what you said about like the body liking what it knows, even if it's not serving you to be in a state of constantly berating yourself, on some level that becomes comfortable. So the possibility of entering a new reality where you accept yourself can feel like so scary and unsafe. And it's also like just the unknown of like, what could your life look like if you weren't putting all that energy towards trying to change yourself? Like that's a really like big thought for some people. Are like, I don't even know. Like it's been so long.
I think it's reframing that, and it takes a whole new thought process. This is a lot, like this is work that you could be doing with a therapist, because this is like really complex work to really alter and understand how to alter some thought processes that you've been conditioned to feel and think and behave under for decades at this point. Mm-hmm. So redoing those thought processes takes a lot of work. And so I think being your patient with yourself too, like these aren't changes that are going to happen overnight, you know, giving yourself the space and time to take steps back and celebrate the wins and be okay with maybe not feeling like you're moving forward sometimes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. If I had a client that said that to me and was in that place, I would say, allow yourself to take the time. Like you have gotten here. Think about all the work it took for you to unlearn those things. And now you're here. And even though your mind might be free and looking for the next thing to jump onto, just give yourself the time and space to really reflect and say, okay, what do I actually want to do now? And if it's nothing, like that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. This is so important. Like it's not happening overnight. And it like healing on a body image journey might just look like awareness at first of like, oh, I'm noticing these diet culture thoughts. And that is so much growth, because before it was like so internalized and in your unconscious like brain that it was just like, there was no space from this is something that I've learned. It was just like, this is me. Like, I just think these thoughts. So I think, yeah, managing your expectations with like really what healing your body image will look like is huge.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think remembering too, that like you've had years and years of feeling this way, and that's not going to change overnight, or that's not going to change in a month. And it's probably not going to change in a year either. Like I've been doing work with some people on some of these issues for several years. And so understanding that like 2 to 3 decades of thinking this way is really going to take some time to heal and, you know, come to a more positive or just even more compassionate form of like loving yourself and understanding your body in that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And giving yourself credit, because I think the hardest step is that first step of actually becoming aware and noticing those things more. Like that is the hardest thing to do.
Huge. That's so, like, huge.
Giving yourself credit for getting there the thoughts are going to come, but if you're noticing the thoughts, that's so much more self-aware than you were before. So give yourself a credit, and it's okay if they come, it happens. That's what your brain was literally trained to have those reactions,
right?
And just showing yourself again kindness in those moments.
Yeah.
I think it's triggering and emotional to become aware of it, because it takes a level of vulnerability with yourself to know, like, I really am going through this. Like, I really don't feel good about myself. So knowing that, it might not feel good to start recognizing those things, because it takes, like I said, like, it takes that vulnerability to be open with yourself in that way. And then to work through those things creates a whole new awareness in your life of like all these different things that are coming up that really don't feel good. So I also want to validate that, like, this might not be an easy process, might not be a fun process, it might not be a good process, but it is going to take you to a place where you might feel so much better about yourself.
Right. And that distinction, I think, is so important of like, it's not easy or fun to be living in a state of constant body hate and berating yourself, but that doesn't lead you anywhere. That's just, you know, going to lead you to continue to spiral further into like self-loathing, whereas doing this work is also painful and also not fun at times and very heavy and emotionally draining, but it's in the direction at least of like understanding and kind of like pulling yourself out of some of these things moving more towards your authenticity ultimately. So it's like, it's going to be hard either way. It's like, which direction do you want it to be hard in, like closer to your authenticity or further from it?
Totally. Yeah. And I also like to say is like, it's very easy. People spend years avoiding those thoughts, avoiding that they're there, even acknowledging that they exist. But the more that you avoid emotion and the more that you avoid those thoughts, the harder they come back. They just don't go away. Mm-hmm. So addressing them is like the first step to be able to get yourself on that journey of having more positive thoughts about yourself.
Absolutely. So someone who is having like a terrible body image day, it's just like, for whatever reason, the thoughts are extra loud. There's like that feeling like you're just jumping on your skin. You just cannot stand the way that you look or feel that day. What are your tips for making it through a day like this?
Yeah, I literally have a post on this on my Instagram. I like to call these days bad body days. but yeah, my tips are, you know, being mindful about how you're starting your day. So if you are starting your day with trying to fit into a pair of clothes that you know it doesn't feel comfortable, that's immediately setting yourself up to have a bad day. So if you wake up and you're feeling that way, put on an outfit that you know that you feel comfortable. I have like go-to outfits that I wear that are always, I know, are always just going to make me feel comfortable. So yeah, like dressing to make yourself feel comfortable and just being like really easy on yourself that day, being really mindful about movement, be really mindful about, you know, what you're consuming on social media or, you know, TV, and not exposing yourself to like too much triggers and not getting mad at yourself about having that day. Like, it's okay. Those days are always going to come. And like I said before, like that is when I would treat myself the kindest, like treating yourself like you're on your period or like you're even sick. Like, cause it's the same thing. You're going to feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I think especially like finding comfort for yourself is so important. There's so many people that I work with who are maybe have bigger bodies than they used to. And so they're trying to fit into some of those smaller clothes that just cut them off right at the, like right in their stomach or feel too tight, like up here, you know, and it's really like Catherine said, it's just setting yourself up for failure, you know, be okay and give yourself permission to wear those clothes that feel more comfortable. I think too, is just giving yourself the space to feel the thoughts and to be okay with that. You know, if you're going to be down on yourself because you feel down, you know, and because you don't feel good about it, you're kind of like deflecting and, you know, disassociating rather than being present with what you're feeling. Give yourself that space. You know, can you talk to somebody about it? You know, who are people within your community, within your family or your friends that can maybe understand this? You know, are you isolating yourself in this and feeling really alone? Because, you know, there's so many people you can talk to about it. You know, you can talk to me and Catherine about it. You can talk to people who, you know, really care about you, because realistically, if you bring this up to somebody, I think a lot of fears that some people have is like, people are not going to understand. But just having a space to talk about it, because you would be surprised. Most people are surprised when they do end up bringing up these bad body days and what they feel like. And it ends up feeling really comforting to be able to talk to people about it and feel less isolated. So I think talking about it, you know, listening to your body, feeling some of those feelings. Those are all good ideas and things to do.
Yeah. And not trying to force yourself to like go about your day in a normal way. If that's not what you're feeling like that's just like further invalidating how your body is showing up for you. So yeah, just trying to validate yourself as much as you can.
I love that. Something, Lindsay, you said guilting yourself for like feeling, for having a hard body image day. Brene Brown calls it like meta shame, like feeling shame that you have shame. And it's just like noticing even that you're doing that versus like, okay, this is how I'm feeling today. And that's okay. Like can make all the difference in adding that extra layer of like pain.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love those tips. Those are awesome. Really, really helpful. And I think for people listening, just the knowing that like this happens, it's okay. You're not going to wake up every day and feel amazing. I think the clothes piece is such a big part of it, because if you're like physically feeling pinched, then like you're going to be thinking about your body more because
it's just uncomfortable.
There's a constant sensation there. Like that's how the brain works.
If you're feeling physically uncomfortable, obviously that's going to cause you to have like negative thoughts.
100%. Right? And sometimes I think it's okay to also say like, sometimes I feel that too. Like there's different days. My body fluctuates all the time. And like, but I'll wake up one day feeling like totally different person than the day before and like put on clothes, and my clothes will fit one day versus another day. Our bodies change and fluctuates every day. You might be more bloated one day. And so it's okay to wear like the bigger size jeans or just to wear sweatpants instead. Like I think everybody kind of goes through those fluctuations, and like you're feeling that discomfort. Like I felt it too. It's just uncomfortable and you're not able to feel like as positive or as comfortable in your body throughout the day, which can impact your mood and impact everything else that's going on around you.
Yeah. I also say like, if you being mindful of your menstrual cycle is super important too, because like you're going to feel differently based on where you are in your cycle.
Right.
And I always say that, like, and I noticed that a lot of my clients will come to me and be like, I feel horrible today. I don't like how my body looks today. And then I'll ask them like, where are you in your menstrual cycle? And they'll be like, oh, I'm about to get my period. Well, obviously you're going to feel bloated when you're about to get your period, right? Mm-hmm. So being mindful and just like letting yourself be a little bit more in touch with your body and understanding like how it reacts to certain things.
Absolutely. And I think about the time when you're about to get your period, it's like there's physical sensations of like how your metabolism's working and feeling bloated, but there's also like the emotional component, which is kind of the perfect storm of like, physically I'm not feeling great, and emotionally I'm harder on myself and more sensitive and all these things. So together, that's like the recipe for a hard body image day.
Totally.
I think about too with like menstrual cycles, and just even if you're not a person who has a menstrual cycle, like we're still humans and we have fluctuations day to day because we are creatures in nature. Like we aren't robots, but diet culture very much feeds us this idea of like same calories every day, same food every day, you should feel the exact same, eat the exact same every day. Like, and it's just, it gets into our head and makes us like internalize this idea that like we should be the same every day, when it's just, there's so many things. There's the seasons, there's emotions, like the moon phases, you know, there's endless things that could be impacting the way that we feel, the energy needs we have, any the way we show up to the world. And so accepting that like cycles and pattern, like, you know, fluctuations are normal.
Yeah. No one is feeling the same every day, and you should not be eating the same thing, same amount of food every day either. It's going to change. So varies day to day so much.
I like what you said, Leah, also about the seasons. Like our bodies change a lot in the seasons, especially like in Manhattan, like there are in New York in general, you know, our seasons are super intense. I don't know if either of you had the same feeling, but like I felt the whole summer I was waking up with like my hands like so swollen, I couldn't even get my rings on. I was like talking to my friends about it. They're like, it's so hot out, like every single day, like it's our so bodies hot, are so swollen. And it was like 90 to 100 degrees this whole summer.
And then I think about two cravings. Like there's so many days in the summer I'm like, I just want like fresh things with a lot of water in them. So like it's just like, I can't, or I can, I'm
you're just filled just, with like, liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some literally no, just low appetite in general. Cause it's like too hot to eat.
Yeah. No, I have been like obsessed with buying fresh tomatoes this summer. Like to the point where I literally had a nightmare that I went to the farmer's market and there was no more tomatoes.
That's so cute.
That's your summer food.
I used to work at Trader Joe's like when I first moved here, and I would like bring my lunch to work, and that's like kind of a hard thing with intuitive eating because you can't really know what you're going to be craving, but like, you know, you just kind of guess. And
yeah, it was bringing lunch to work is like so hard.
And so yeah, we could do a whole other thing on that. But pretty much I think I had like a salad in for lunch, and I was sitting down to eat it one, and it was kind of like when it was changing from summer to fall. And I was just like, like it was good. It was good. It was good. And then there was one day where I was like, I just don't want this. It was like a little cold out. And I'm like, I want like rice and like some kind of stew or like chili, like, cause it was getting cold out. And so it was just such a clear moment where I caught my body being like going from craving fresh things to craving like warm, more like hearty, more like energy dense things, which makes sense. Like you think about animals that like hibernate and like, or like, you know, stock up, eat a lot, and like are more sedentary, and like we are no different. Like we, our energy needs change based on the seasons, our cravings change. We are always changing.
Totally.
Oh. Working at Trader Joe's, were you able to just get your variety? Because I feel like, can't you just pick something off the shelf at that
point? You can, but like the break room isn't like a full kitchen and you only have like a short amount of time.
Oh, really?
No, there's like a microwave, but you don't want to start like, you're on your feet a lot. You don't want to start like cooking. Like, I mean, I didn't at least.
If that was me, I'd be like grabbing those packs of brown rice and throwing them in the
Some people do that. I like to like assemble at home, but like I would supplement if I wanted like something sweet or something, like, you know, with what they had there. Okay. So obviously when we aren't listening to diet culture or all these exterior rules, instead we're listening to our bodies, to our intuition. And this question's like a little bit beyond the scope of body image, but I ask everyone who comes on the podcast, what does intuition mean to you and how do you experience it?
I think for me, intuition is really listening to my body. And being in tune with what I'm feeling, with what my body's needing, kind of like what we talked about today. Our bodies fluctuate, just kind of giving it what it needs, wearing the more comfortable clothes if you need to, you know, being aware of what you're feeling and how it's impacting your day. So just really being in tune with like your emotions, your mind and your body, how like the way you feel about your body is impacting your mind and how some of those negative thoughts might be kind of impacting you, how you feel, how you behave, how you think, how you treat other people, how you treat yourself.
And how do you experience it? Like when you, like you said, like being in touch with your body, like when your body's telling you something, I know this question is like a little bit out there, but how does it like communicate with you?
I think that my body really communicates with me when I feel like exhausted. I just start to feel like achy, tired when I'm not like maybe eating enough throughout the day. I think it's really like listening to my body in that way when it feels like it's not serving me, or when it feels like, you know, maybe I'm getting more tired in my sessions, or, you know, when I'm feeling maybe a little bit more grumpy, you know, I'm not feeling my best. It's really just like listening to those feelings that come up, or sometimes I get like really intense in like my shoulders and really like tight. And so like recognizing when that tension comes up and just being able to respond to it, whether that's like through stretching, through having a snack, through drinking more water. I think that's really how that shows up in my body.
Beautiful.
For me, I think like broadly intuition, not just to do with body. I think for me, it's like, maybe this is just me, and I might be about to sound like a crazy person, but I feel like I always have this like little voice in my head telling me how I feel about things. And I like growing up as a woman, I think a lot of women can relate to this, is like, you're kind of told to ignore that in a lot of situations. So I think for intuition for me has been like listening to that little voice. Like if like, say, you know, you're out with a group of people and your friend is like, what are you doing on Saturday? Do you want to come to this thing? And like an older version of me would just like say yes to everything without like listening to like, oh, you were planning on taking that like day to yourself on Saturday. Like, don't say yes to that. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's just like respecting that little voice inside of my head and like really allowing that to show and not trying to like push down those feelings. And I think the way that I try to connect to my intuition more is through like, I know this is going to sound cheesy, but like mindfulness and yoga. So like, you know, the whole practice of that is like not trying to like ignore your thoughts, but just accepting them as they come up and then reacting to them. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, it's just like being able to accept my thoughts and then to actually speak them into existence and like honoring truly in and outside of body image, like what my body and mind is telling me.
Yeah, I love that. Your description of how intuition manifests for you feels really similar to how I experience it. And something I noticed with that little voice is sometimes you don't honor it and you like don't know that you didn't honor it until after the fact. And it's like, ooh, that felt wrong. Like I just, whoops, like I, that wasn't what was in line with what my body was telling me. And that's okay too. Like sometimes you only learn by going there.
Exactly. Exactly. But I just found that I was doing that. Like I used to be like a chronic people pleaser. So I would just ignore that 24/7. And then that manifests in like really negative ways. Like maybe I'm like my emotions coming up a lot harder, like whether that be anger or sadness, right? That's going to come out at some point. So really like learning to listen to yourself and honor yourself in that way is just like such a beautiful step along your journey.
I love that question. It's so personal. Everyone has their own way of explaining it and feeling it. And it's like, we're only in our own body. So I love to hear people's answers. Okay. My last fun question. What is your biggest diet culture pet peeve? I just said that so fast.
I don't even know if I have one. Like that's going to take a lot of thought.
What's one diet culture pet peeve?
I think fashion. I love clothes. I love fashion. But why is every store so limited in its sizing? Why is that so normalized? And like, I think just that. Yeah. Like that's what people want the and most, to be honest.
On top of that, Catherine, there's now all this stuff where stores are like performatively saying like we're size inclusive, but then they'll only have like the extended sizing for like a little bit and to just for like press. Like Old Navy just had a whole thing with this. And then they
call out a brand, but like Victoria's Secret. That whole rebrand.
You will not catch me.
Right. They're just hopping on it because it's trendy, but not because they actually care about, you know, honoring people in all body sizes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. Also, if I had to say a second one, which I'm sorry, I have to, is the workouts where they're like, look a certain way because of like, I don't want you telling me I have to like avoid certain. I mean, they don't really bother me as much anymore, but like, you know, on your journey, like you don't want to be told, hey, like do this thing and look this certain way. Like, no, I just want to like connect to my body.
Right. I can't stand that. I've left a yoga class in the middle of the class before because they're like sculpting and like it was a hot class, like melting off those calories. And I literally have gotten up and left. There's one yoga teacher I like and on Thursdays in Manhattan. I can tell you guys about her, but I don't want too many people to know because sometimes the class sells out. But like, I'm so specific because when you're working out too, like you're like, I feel like almost like your subconscious is like more susceptible because you're like sweating and you're really connecting with the teacher. Yeah. And if they're saying things like sculpt and like burn, then like it can really get to you.
Yeah, totally.
I've heard of people who have been in, I've never had this experience, but I know of people who've like been to workout classes who have had like the instructor start off class with being like, oh, like do it for the donuts, or like starting off the class with like, let's burn off that brunch from yesterday, or like do this so you can go and eat XYZ. And it's just like, people are in this space to feel good in their bodies and to like work towards just like their mind body connection and like feeling, it's not about feeling fit. Like it's about feeling like healthy and just feeling that like comfort of like toning and like working those muscles in your body. And so I think that's just such a negative way for instructors to like,
it's like capitalizing on harming people.
They mean well probably, but like to me it's like
totally,
it's so like tacky at this point. Like really, like we're not,
a lack of awareness too.
Read a single article.
Open your eyes. This is diet culture is like a huge problem, and that's like a very like to me like overt manifestation of it by saying like, you know, earn that brunch after that. Like
So yeah, being mindful about what exercise.
Yes. Anyway, we went on a tangent. Okay. Love your diet culture pet peeves. Lindsay, what about you?
I think it has to be what I eat in a day videos. Like just seeing that. And then I have so many people that come and work with me and they're like, I ate all of that, but like, why don't I look like that person? It's like, they're not actually putting what they eat in a day. Like, yeah, they'll put like the oatmeal and then like the piece of grilled chicken and a salad that they had for dinner. And then like three small pieces of chocolate, but like, you don't know what people are eating. You don't know what people are going through. Like the internet and social media is so skewed that like, it's so easy to just be tricked by it. And then like, I'll even read the comments and just see people saying like, oh my God, diet routine, like give us your diet routine. Like your body is so amazing. So just seeing the way that that's perpetuated and like how many people are sucked into that on social media is really frustrating for me to see. But I'm somebody who like totally has tried to take diet culture out of my social media because like, I don't want that in my life. And so I'm the person on TikTok or on Instagram who is like swiping as fast as I can past those. So that my algorithm is all like body positivity, intuitive eating, all of that good stuff. So, and just reminding people that like, you can alter your social media to be a more healthy space for you. Like we're on our phones for a lot of people are on their phones for a lot of hours of the day. And so like suck yourself into something so negative, like you're doing that to yourself. So being aware of the content that you're feeding yourself is important.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's like feeding your subconscious. You're just seeing that all the time.
Yeah.
And with like ads and stuff too, like you can report them. You can literally say like, this is spam. Like I'm always like spam, mm-hmm. untrue. Yeah.
I should start doing that.
Oh, it's so fun. Like,
oh, I do that. I love that.
I'm also like, how are you serving me ads for diets? Like I'm an anti-diet dietitian algorithm. Like how is the algorithm like getting it so
really
wrong?
I really think it's like, they're like, oh, you care about food. You like recipe videos.
Yeah. They can't like separate it. What about when it asks you like, is this helpful? Or like, did you find this interesting? And I'm absolutely not. Swipe.
No. Yeah. One last thought on the what I eat in a day videos too, like from the nutrition perspective, what we eat and how we exercise actually is like a very small piece of the pie in terms of what determines body size. Such a large piece of the pie is like genetics, you know, also social determinants of health, like access to healthcare and outdoor spaces and like things like the racism and like all these pieces that are so beyond what diet culture wants you to think it is, because diet and exercise are things that they can sell you ideas on and like, you know, things that you can use to like, quote unquote, fix it. But if they were to say, actually, it's like a lot of other deep systemic factors that like are beyond our control, then like there's no room for like profiting off of us.
I love that. I literally took a class called Social Determinants of Health where we like dived into all of that. And it's so true. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
All of those things play a factor.
Social determinants of health. I love like nerding out about
it. I love talking about that stuff.
We'll talk social determinants of health later. I love it. Is there anything else on either of your hearts that you're wanting to share today? Anything that we missed?
I think that I was just wanting to share a little bit more about the group.
Absolutely.
And
yes,
like
please.
Telling people if that's okay, like where they can sign up. So Catherine and I are going to be running the group, My Body in the Bedroom, all about what we talked about today, body image, how it's impacting dating, intimacy, all those things. We're going to have a lot of really awesome topics, like how social media comes into play. We're going to be talking about how like diet culture and like where our ideas about diet culture restricting and some of these negative thought processes came from. The head of our practice is going to come in as a speaker one week to talk about pleasure and communication with your partner. So we have a really diverse curriculum. It's going to be really awesome. It's 8 weeks, only $55 per session. And so there's only a couple of slots left. So if you're interested, definitely reach out to Catherine or I. We'll post on our social media and, you know, send the information. But it's going to be in the fall in the evenings. We haven't decided exactly what time because we're going to work with the group members to find a good time. So if you're wanting to sign up and it sounds interesting to you, definitely don't hesitate to reach out. You can even just reach out to us to have a conversation to see like, is this a good option for me? So yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. And is it virtual and do you have to be located in New York to do it?
Totally virtual. It can be, you don't have to be in New York, but it is totally virtual.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Such a good opportunity. I'll put links in the show notes to your social media handles and anything else for people to help people find it.
Thank you.
Anything else, Catherine, on your heart that we missed?
I feel like Lindsay, you summarized that really well, but just, yeah, I think that, thank you so much for having us on. If you're listening and you're struggling with some of the things we're talking about, you are not alone. There's a lot of people who also struggle with it and I hope you find that community.
Beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Leah. This was a really awesome space to be in. Like we love just having these conversations and kind of breaking that stigma down, like taking the walls down around like how it's really hard to have some of these conversations. So, you know, I agree with Catherine, whoever's listening to this, you're not alone. So we kind of hope we created that space for people to feel more comfortable to have these conversations and do the same thing in our group as well. So thanks for having us
and kind of
just building awareness.
You guys are doing amazing work. Where can people, what are your social media handles, whatever handles you want to plug for people to stay connected?
Yeah, I'll plug myself. By the way, me and Lindsay are both accepting individual and couples clients as well. So if you're looking to do that, but yeah, my Instagram is @ToMeTalks. It's like a variation on my last name. I post a lot about stuff that we were talking about. So if you want to give me a follow and shoot me a DM.
Yeah, me too. You can find me on Instagram. I'm not like super, super active because like I've kind of taken a step back from social media. But if you're interested to see, you know, a little bit of my work, I'm at Lindsay Schaefer Therapy on Instagram, Lindsay Schaefer on Facebook. And then, yeah, me and Catherine both accepting new clients and new individuals and couples too. So please feel free to reach out, or you can book an appointment with me or reach out to me also on my website, lindsayschaefer.com. And Schaefer is S-C-H. A lot of people do the S-H. So just want awesome. To say that.
And it'll be links in the show notes for all of that. Thank you guys so much. Thank it was you. So amazing having you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this episode, if it inspired you, if you learned something, it would mean so much to me if you rated it and reviewed it. And if you feel called to, share it with someone who it might resonate with. You can find me on Instagram at leahkern.rd. You can also join my weekly newsletter by visiting leahkernrd.com. And I'll see you next week.